We're live.
If you were to walk into a restaurant in North Berkeley, a little town in Northern California, and you walk into this restaurant, you'd be impressed on a particular Sunday at how awesome the restaurant is. The people are so kind. And everything about the restaurant looks normal until you sit down and you get the menu. Because when you look at this particular menu, what you discover is there's no prices on the menu. Even more interesting is when the meal's all done. At the Karma Kitchen, you'll find that the receipt you get at the end for the bill says zero at the bottom of it. Your meal is free. And the note at the bottom of it says, your meal's been paid for by someone who came before you. You can donate as much or as little as you like for the people that come after you, so long as you don't break the chain. It's an incredible story. People love it. People flock. When they open up on that Sunday once a month, they fill up the place. And they've been doing it since 2007. Some 27,000 meals have been prepared. It's an amazing story. It pulls on the heartstrings. And if you watch the video of the Karma Kitchen, you just think, oh my God, I want to go. But it's a story we in the WordPress community know all too well. Because if you paid attention to the Karma Kitchen years ago, they were there every Sunday, every week. And now they're there once a month. And they haven't always been able to stay in Berkeley. Oh, there are other ones that have popped up around the country and around the globe. But here's what we know. When you leave it up to the end users to donate, we get some amazing things to happen. And tons of people volunteer and contribute, and it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. But we go from weekly meals to monthly meals, and then quarterly meals, and then yearly meals, and eventually places like the Karma Kitchen disappear. They're labors of love. They're awesome. At the end of the day, it's an experiment we know too well because it's an experiment we've lived through. We've asked for donations. We've asked for people to contribute whatever they value. And at the end of the day, we've seen businesses, WordPress businesses, that haven't been able to sustain themselves because they haven't done the hard work of pricing. I think everything is still priced too low. And I'm Chris Lemma, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
We have a dilemma, and I'm going to tell you, I don't have a soundboard, so I can't do it, but the price is wrong, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Brad, what's going on with you, big brother? How you been doing this week?
Oh, man, I am great. I'm busy as ever, but that's a great thing to be, right? That means you must be doing something right. So that's, I'm great, man. I'm doing good. I was in New York yesterday. The sun was out. I'm sitting in a park with Boone, our guest from last week, just coding away and working on some stuff, and got a little sunburnt. Felt awesome. The sun still exists. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
what about you, man? I you got a little news on that side. You got some. You got another belt.
Yeah, it's been a great week. I've been training hard and finally back off my back neck injury, and I got my fourth stripe last night. So next step, as I progress in my jiu-jitsu journey, is blue belt. Really, really excited about it. Very motivated. I'll be competing in Las Vegas May 4th at the IBJJF Spring Open Las Vegas. So if you're out that direction, come see me compete. Come see me hopefully get on the podium and get some gold. Man, it's a good world. It's a good day. We're here for episode 39 and with one of my favorite people in the world, my Latino brother, and it's a fellow cigar smoker, Chris Lemma. What is going on, bro?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Loving it. I love the fact that not only we got you on last minute, so definitely appreciate that. But not only that, but you were actually streaming over LTE, which I think you might be able to have good quality.
It's working so far. We'll see if it keeps working.
Yeah, as I say that, the whole thing will come crashing down, right? But so far, it seems to be working pretty well. Great to have you back. You're in an elite club of Deuce hosters, as we like to call them. Is that what we call
like,
them?
I like that.
But you are an elite. You're one of the few that we've had on multiple times. We had you back. We probably should have pulled up the date, but it was definitely last year. You're one of our early hosts, early on in this show. And you can tell we've come a long way, right?
I think it was episode 5, right? Something like that?
5.
Wow. Yeah, something like that.
Feels like an eternity ago. But it's definitely great to have you back on. Really excited to be talking about some money. I know you're very passionate about this topic. It's one that I know Dre and I could talk all day long about, so I think we're going to have a really amazing show. But before we get into that, guys, I need to know what you're spending on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Every party has one, and I'm going to be one of those today.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm doing? I'll be training this evening. Nothing worse than getting your fourth stripe and then the next day not going into training. That's just terrible.
How dare you be healthy, I swear. What? This is not what I signed up for.
No, hey, you know, there'll be a day. There'll be a day, my friend. In fact, we'll get to share some drinks here in Miami for Word Camp Miami here coming up in about a month. I am sipping on some water, my friend. California's finest.
Aqua. Chris, what do you got over there, man? What do we got in the hotel bar tonight?
I'm double fisting 2 Diet Mountain Dews.
There you go. Oh man, well I'll be the resident alcoholic. I have some of the private stock Captain Morgan. Nice little drink to warm me up as it gets a little chilly out in the evenings. So, cheers with your drinks, guys.
Salud, salud. Oh man, let's hit it hard here. Let's get right back into this this whole discussion. We've had the full interview with you here. We think episode 5, Chris, right? We chatted about kind of where you came from, the things that you're doing, how you got involved in the WordPress community. That has continued to grow. You're an amazing persona and someone to be heard because what you say has real value. What's happened in the last year, man? I mean, some exciting stuff that you've been involved with. Things are continuing to grow from your camp, and I'm excited to hear about where you're at and how these things are going for you.
Well, things are good, right? So I continue to do some coaching, which is always fun. My day job remains my day job, and that doesn't change much ever. But my afternoons and evenings are still spent interacting with WordPress companies and helping them out and helping them think through strategy and product stuff and all that good stuff. But I am attending less WordCamps, so I'm trying to get it down to 6 this year instead of 12 from last year. And that will include Austin and Miami, where we'll all hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, San Francisco. So
sure.
The ones are still going on. But instead, what I started to do was try and create a couple other events where I'd get to hang out with some folks. So next week I'll be in Cabo with a handful of WordPress folks, spending with some of them the whole week and some of them just the weekend. But that will be a lot of fun. And hopefully in late August, I'll have a group of folks join me on a cruise, a little cruise to Ensenada to hang out and sip on some beverages and just get a whole group of folks to be out there on the water. So that should be fun as well.
Let's talk about these, because I think that they're both very interesting the way you're doing them, and it's not something that I've heard of before, so I kind of want to hear a little bit more about them. So you're doing the Cabo thing. You said some people will be there a week, some people for the weekend. I'm assuming it's not like a WordCamp where you're going to have presentations on the beach, but what's the plan? Is it just kind of laid back conversation? Is it even work related? Is it more just kind of hanging out and getting to know people? What's the idea there?
So the week-long event is a handful of CEOs that you know, right? So you get Corey Miller and Kareem Ruki and Syed Balki. You know, you get folks like that to come out for the week. And the first half of the week, we don't have anyone else there. So it's mostly just some mastermind work, right? Talking through business stuff, talking through some strategy stuff, with a predominant amount of relaxing going on too, right? So it's not, there's no presentations, but it's mastermind where you come alongside one another and talk through some business stuff. And then on the, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I open it up to anyone who wanted to pay to come down, right? So there was a fee for it. It'll still most likely operate a bit at a loss, which is totally fine. But its goal was to bring people who also wanted to do some masterminding but get to hang out with those same folks, right? So if you're if you're, you know, Jared Acheson, and you want to build your business up, and you want to get time with Corey, you want to get the hallway time that you might get at a WordCamp, but you want to get it directly with a lot less competition. This is, and you want to do it at the beach. This is the way to do it. So, I have a resort. You know, I have a resort I go to regularly down there. We have a nice three-bedroom villa and access to more properties, and so I set it up down there so we could all go and hang out.
I love it. I love the idea. I mean, it's definitely something I would like to do someday. And it's like you said, like a lot of these kind of hallway conversations, most of us are kind of planning around WordCamps that we've got to be at maybe locally, like, hey, come out a day or two early. Let's just get together and hang out and kind of do our own thing for a bit. And then it turns from a couple people doing it to you start inviting more people, and all of a sudden you kind of have that session like you're talking about. But having something a little more formally organized, like actually going to a place like Cabo, is awesome. I mean, that just sounds like a hell of a time.
Yeah,
it's a good crowd too.
Yeah, it's a good group. And then in August, that's open pretty much to anyone who wants to sign up. And so we just made all the information available. It's a fairly inexpensive cruise, because it's essentially just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It leaves out of Long Beach and heads down to Ensenada and back. And you know, double occupancy for a room is like $350. So if you normally fly to a WordCamp, or you stay at a hotel, even if you drive and stay at a hotel at a WordCamp, and you eat and drink for, you know, a weekend, yeah, that's pretty much a push. So we thought, let's spend a weekend out, you know, on a boat together.
I love it. I mean, I commented on your post. I was like, man, if you're on the East Coast, I'd be there in a heartbeat. You know, obviously yeah. The flight out there would add up. But, I mean, I think that's a great idea. And actually, you probably saw this post. Someone, a non-WordPress, some tech guy out there wrote a post about how he actually goes on cruises to work. Because it's like you said, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to do anything. Everything's yeah. provided. And you can get a lot of quiet time if you want. Yeah. And you can actually sit there and work. And if you actually do the math, it actually is a push, because sometimes it might sound steep, but if you break down by day of how much you spend if you're renting an office or, you know, whatever, a hotel, whatever it may be. So the next one definitely needs to be on the East Coast. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. I agree.
I don't remember getting any invites for any of this stuff, man. I'm a little butthurt right now.
There's a reason for that.
You know, I write about these things on this thing I call the blog.
Shoot. Oh, you caught me.
The problem is you write on your blog... You write on your blog so much, if you don't read it like at least every other day, things are just pushed off the front page and it's gone.
I turned off my RSS reader just because of you, Chris.
I know. I did add a feature where you could get it once a week because people started complaining. They're like, stop writing so much.
Spamming us with your good content. How dare you? That's great, man. I love it because it's creative. And honestly, I've heard of talk and chatter of people mentioning, hey, it'd be cool to do a cruise, a WP cruise, for years, but no one has actually said, I'm doing it. This is happening. Come if you want. And you are doing it, which I think is cool. I think a lot of people are going to look at what you're doing, and I would not be surprised if this is a growing trend and we start seeing some more of these kind of more micro, like you said, hallway conversations and either remote destinations or like cruise type stuff.
Yeah. And I'll be at... I'll be at Beach Press, which is not run by me, but is Justin Satan's doing it up in the north here, and supposedly it's going to be incredible. I think I don't know how big that house is that he rented, but it's gargantuan.
Yeah, that's, if I believe that is the second year they've done Beach Press.
Yep, second year, and it's the first week of June. It runs right before your the WordCamp out there in Philly.
Oh, well, thank you, Beach Press. that's great. Actually, I spent some time with Ben Lobaugh in Seattle, and he was at Beach Press, and he had the really cool specialized glasses that they had made, and was telling me all about it. I mean, it sounded like an amazing time.
Yeah.
It's definitely fun. I love the idea of these kind of more micro camps of you know, just, you know, really thought-provoking people attending, and like you said, kind of industry leaders, you know, company owners, you know, big contributors, just people that are really, really into everything about WordPress and it's for their lives. It's kind of cool to get those people together.
Now, what I'm about to say is a joke. Mm-hmm. So if anyone quotes me out of context, right, remember that I started by saying this is a joke. But yeah. every major industry always ends up having a place where people go to another country so they can collude and change prices on everything. So, you know, maybe you got to go to Cabo to talk about pricing and make an adjustment.
Ah, pricing. Man, so... off note or off topic for a second, let's talk and let me plug for those who don't know, the Chris Lemon is one of the masterminds behind another very, very popular podcast. It airs on Mondays, WP Water Cooler. It can be found at WPWaterCooler.com. Talk to me, brother. Big stats, big numbers, lots of shows.
Holy I think it's the second most popular WordPress podcast, if I remember right. I mean,
it actually pales in comparison when looking at the most popular WordPress podcast at night.
Because I mean, you only have a few million listeners. Like, you know, nowhere near our hundreds of people that tune in over.
Every time we try and get listeners at night for our show, it's horrible. But when we do it in the morning, it turns out.
WP Water Cooler is great. It's a great show. And one of the things I love is
Island, and that island is where he's getting all these visits. It's what's going on here.
One thing I love about the coolers, it's just very Jason is, I mean, you guys are on the ball with scheduling. It's like every week I'm like, oh, maybe they won't do one this week, and yep, sure enough, you're doing one. Like, I think we started right around the same time, you know, probably maybe a month apart or so. And you, what episode are you on? You're way beyond us.
79, 82, something. It's crazy.
We haven't even hit an actual full year, and we've been doing this well over a year now, so
there's that.
It's a great show. If you haven't, check it out. What is it? WP Water Cooler.
It's a show about nothing, and that's why it works.
It is definitely a lot of fun. You guys do a lot of live events too, which is cool.
Yeah.
At WordCamps.
How are you? When are you monetizing this? What's going on?
I don't think we will monetize it. I think we will. We may create some little mini commercials that allow the core cast to do some commercials, product reviews and stuff that'll go on the YouTube channel and allow them to get affiliate revenue from that way. But the core product, the show itself, will not get monetized. The entire intention of the show forever has been just to make some of that core cast more known and more available to the larger community. And in terms of that goal, you know, when we started, I don't think nearly as many people knew Suzette or Steve or no one knew Say, and almost nobody knew me or Jason. So you had a whole group of people that no one had ever heard of. And now, you know, it's fun when you walk into a WordCamp and people are like, I know you. You're on that water cooler show. And you know, Say flips out and Steve says, I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
What up? You walk in and say, what up? I got a big podcast.
I think that's the kind of the same direction as us. I mean, we partnered up with Tor.io, and the whole emphasis behind that was, sure, you know, we would love to partner up with another media kind of setup in the WordPress space. We're not looking for profits here. We're looking for a smoother running show. I may say, we're not going to be able to do that between Brad and I. I mean, that's just simply put, that's just the way it's going to work. And our
intentions were never. We don't really know what we're doing here.
Yeah, we really suck at this.
We really need a lot of help.
But you know that already, and ultimately we were never here to profit. The idea was to bring some exposure to folks in the community that otherwise weren't getting that, and for us to talk about topics that are important to everybody in the community without really having to hold back around our opinions and what we really feel about it. And we're excited to be here now going on the 40th episode here next week. And it moves forward. So kind of the same premise, right? It's more of a community service than anything else, and that in itself is pretty exciting.
And I think just between the two shows, it's nice that, again, going back to consistency, it's nice that there's a history too, because there was a period of a couple years where I felt like there was a new WordPress podcast every week, and then another one stopping the next week. Like, it was just you know, they'd go for a month or two and get burnt out, which is very easy to do. I mean, this is, we've said this a lot, it looks a lot easier than it is. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that has to happen here, but it was just up and down, you know. There was just no consistency to shows, but now I feel like there's a good handful of shows. WP Water Cool is obviously one of them. Dradcast is the number one of them. And we've been around, and we're gonna keep doing it. It doesn't look like either show is slowing down, which I think is great.
Thankfully,
and great for everyone on.
And you know, props out to Jason Tucker out there, because he runs a clean ship. The guy, just from an audio perspective, running the show, he's got the experience. He's done it for a while, and I kudos to him, because I think without his mastermind and technical abilities behind the show, it'd be a challenge to keep it and get it to where it is today.
It wouldn't exist, right? It just wouldn't exist. I mean, Google changes, as you guys know. Google changes infrastructure and tools every other week.
It's annoying.
it changes the rules around what you can and can't do. It changes all the technology related to pushing the shows to YouTube. I mean, it is a near full-time, part-time job for Jason to keep up on all that stuff. And I just show up and basically deal with, you know, topics and personnel issues. Jason has to take care of all of the real technical stuff. So
I actually have an interesting audio clip here from Jason. I just want to – it kind of puts some context around the whole conversation. So here's Jason. Oh, wait, that wasn't Jason. Never
mind. Oh, yeah, he's a beast.
He has sounded like that 3 minutes before the show, and Google changes where the button is, right? And you're like, oh, my God.
We had an episode. We went to air, and everything was fine. I think, in fact, I had done probably like that morning, I had done a hangout for the team, the security team. And then we get on to air that night, and like hour before the show, and it's like they changed the whole UI, the UX. Everything's moved, and you're like, what the hell just happened? Yeah. We've got to go on the air in like 45 minutes, and we can't even find the freaking broadcast button.
We do 30 minutes of prep before the show starts. Yeah. And we on that same week, I remember it, literally, we got on the show 30 minutes before, and he's like, guys, you have to talk amongst yourselves. I have to figure out where the button is, right? And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's happened.
They don't announce it anywhere, right? So there's like no place like, hey, this is coming. No, it's like, watch how many people freak the hell out when I push this damn button. Poof! Yeah. Like, it's gone. Yeah, good. No good. Man, I would pay a premium for that. To make sure that I was in the loop so I wasn't in the dark come showtime.
Yep, exactly.
How would we price that, Chris? What would we do to put a price on that?
I like that. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? The truth is, and this is the nature of kind of the price elasticity of products, is that for me and you, because we value our time, because we have an understanding of the value of our time, we would price that significantly. So we'd say, oh, if I had to pay $100 a year for you to give me all the things up front about what was going to change, or in fact, if I could pay you $100 a year for you to not change my interface for the whole year, I'd pay it in a heartbeat. Now, that's because we could literally sit here and calculate how much time we've burnt, and then we could calculate the value of that time and realize that we burned 4, 5, 6 times that. And so it's a bargain, right? But if people don't think that way, and all they're doing is what we call comparative pricing, where they just say, look left, look right, Gmail's free, Google Hangouts are free, everything should be free, and of course, the downside of everything being free is that because it's free, the expectation is, well, Google says I can change whenever I want to change and do whatever I want because you're not paying for this product. And we all know, right, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right?
You are the product, yeah. And you know, and I'll tell you, free doesn't always mean best. It doesn't always mean good. It doesn't always mean safe. I've preached that for years in terms of the security piece to that. But how do we get people thinking about these things and more around the value that it's giving them versus, oh, my gosh, it's free or it's coming really cheap. I can afford that now versus long term. What is that real value? What does it cost me year over year? If I don't have something like this.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? The reality is that people are tight with money, and I get that. But those very same people who are tight with money, and there are days where I'm tight with money, it's not like any of us have hit the jackpot in such a way that none of us have to ever worry about money. There are days where it's tight, days where it's not as tight. But here's the thing. We all make choices about money, and we make choices about money all the time. And if we were as concerned about money when we weren't looking at these products and prices as when we are looking at them, everything would be different. Because we don't evaluate the cost of the Starbucks trip every single morning. We don't evaluate the cost of going out to the movies at night versus in the afternoon. We don't evaluate the cost of taking a whole group of people to a nice restaurant because it makes us feel better about hosting a nice restaurant rather than a cheap restaurant, right? All those things are trade-offs we make all the time about how we spend our money. And the reality is that when it comes to these products, we turn around and we say, we just want the cheapest product price ever, right? And you're
a lot of that's need, want, and throwing in a little bit of instant gratification, right? Starbucks coffee is gone by the time lunchtime comes around. There's no real long-term value there, but certainly short-term right now, it's going to get me where I want to be. So I'm willing to sacrifice my long-term for that.
And we develop habits, right? The route to Starbucks is so ingrained that we just drive there without thinking. We do the drive-through right through without thinking, and we order the same thing without thinking. And we can say it's going to be 7:33 without thinking because we know every day or every week it's the same thing. This is why when we price products, and when we price SaaS products, and when we price premium products, and when we price anything online, we need to develop in our customers the same muscle memory, right? That's mm-hmm. why freemium is such a hard play, because you train them to not pay a thing, and then the first time you ask them to go for their wallet, 30% of them walk away. Whereas if you train them to go for their wallet, even in small amounts, and slowly over time you increment, then over time they develop the muscle memory and the habits of spending money.
Well, another byproduct of that is getting back to the freemium model, which I'm not a huge fan of, is also getting buy-in from people that want to be there, right? Even if it's a minimal cost, I'm beta testing, and all of a sudden I'm charging a low flat fee for someone to come in and even beta test. What I'm doing is telling them that, look, I want you here. There's value for you to have this product even in its infancy, but I want to grab an audience that wants to be there, that understands the value of that, right? So that, I think that's a very important byproduct that we often forget.
One of the things I tell people is there's two studies done on membership sites, right, where they let people create a membership account, create a subscription for $0, and they had access to private premium content. And in these two different studies, they introduced a new cost after 6 or 8 months, and it was $1 for a year. Now think about that, right? $1 for an entire year of access to premium, private, protected content. And they saw between 25 and 30% of the people quit, close their accounts, total attrition. These are people who basically were saying, I never have the intention of not even paying you a single dollar for all your effort. Well, if that's part of your audience, you're much better off helping them find somewhere else to visit quicker rather than later, right? Because that's just a tax on your system.
Ridiculous.
You're absolutely right. So versus having people come in for free, and I have 100 people come in, but I can come in and sell them at a dollar from entry fee to come in, and I get 50 people. Yeah. Right. The odds are when I raise the prices, they're already in the system. They're more apt to pay more money on the upsell than they were to even get that dollar in the door from the first place. Those non-paying folks at the beginning are not likely to convert as high as people that even paid a nominal fee coming in the gate. That's just the way that it works, folks.
And here's the crazy thing. And everybody knows this. I spent a couple weeks ago, spent some time talking with Carl, who is over at Rocket Genius for the guys behind Gravity Forms, right? And he has the data, right? He has the statistical data to prove my point when I tell you that the people who pay the least amount for your product are often the people who cost you the most amount, right? In terms of support, they call more, they write more, they bitch more, they complain more, they post more, they ask for more refunds. The lower tiers, lower prices are people who essentially believe that their small amount of money owes them the right to ask for everything. And so the faster that you can define those segments and the faster you can determine who are the people that are going to spend the right amounts of money with you at the right intervals, et cetera, the better off you can build a business that in the long run will sustain your goals.
So what you're telling me is that lower audience is not only costing you at the gate more of your profit margin because you're charging them less, but in the end, you're bleeding money because your resources are through the roof supporting them.
Yep.
That's not a sound business model.
This is something we learned fairly early on at WebDev Studios, because we're services-based business. People hire a product of some kind. And early on, we just getting into the game, we had very low prices. We would be building websites for anywhere from $500, $1,000, maybe $2,000. $2,000, that's a great site. That's a great amount of money. But what we learned over time is exactly what you're saying, that the sites that as we grew and we got to working on much larger sites, more of our projects were in the five-figure range, but we still had some sites that were under that. We were spending way more time on those smaller sites from day-to-day, answering emails, phone calls, project management, than we were on like a $50,000 site. It was just like, it was a time suck on those smaller sites. So we kept kind of up and right, because we wanted to go towards those larger sites because we realized that. And we still get a lot of people that come in the door that say, you're out of, you're priced too high. And we're like, we're right. We are probably priced too high for you. But there are certainly people out there that can help you. But it's that same problem of, the people that spend a little bit less are generally going to look, You know, so people have saved up this hard-earned money. Of course they're going to be very, you know, they're going to be all over you because they want to make sure their money's put to good use.
And different segments in different markets, in different industries, can afford different amounts and have different budgets. So there's always going to be that. You have to be aware of that, right? If you go build a website for a mechanic whose predominant business is local traffic and he doesn't really need much more than the Yellow Page ad and he doesn't even spend much in the Yellow Page ad and he does most of his business via word of mouth, a $2,000 site for him may be perfectly legitimate and there's no reason for him to spend $10,000. But there are other people where they earn their entire livelihood off the leads that come from the web, and a $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 website is not an issue when you start comparing all the other ways they spend money for marketing and lead gen. So part of it is understanding that space. But the other thing you need to know is if you're building $500 and $1,000 websites and you're burning through that money, right, and you have a high tax of customers who have high demands and you haven't managed expectations and you have fear that's driving you to not charge more, then you're going to show up to my site and you're going to post in one of my comments or you're going to send me a note that says, how do I charge more, right? And I'm going to say the problem is staring you in the mirror. Because at the end of the day, you don't even have time to consider charging more. You don't have time to do anything because you're completely taxed with the people that are currently consuming all of your time. Your fear is driving you to keep it low.
Couldn't agree more. It starts with you, it ends with you, right? So you're going to start in a specific audience. And look, not everybody's going to start out making 50, 100K websites. It's not realistic. But starting out at 500,000, that's fine. You're going to feel the pain as you move forward with those clients. It's just the reality of how if you're really looking to establish an organization that's going to grow behind that type of service, you're going to feel the pain. So you need to be able to progress it. You're going to grow from that into charging more, and your audience may change over time. It's like anything that you do in software. Iteration. You got to iterate. You got to iterate your audience even. It's okay for you to get choosy with your audience. It's okay for you to grow in terms of what you're going to be charging.
One of the biggest challenges we have in this community is the open source. We're in an open source community, right? WordPress is open source. So there's always that kind of the idea that if you're working at open source, it should be free or it should be almost no cost. You know, so it's like you said, to pay whatever Gravity Forbes is charging, it's definitely under $100, I think, for a site license. A lot of people will say, oh, that's way too much. But if you actually look at, like, Chris, as you keep saying, the amount of time you're using Gravity Forms versus some other crappy free plugin or coding that yourself, it's a no-brainer. You use it on one website and it pays for itself tenfold, right? So
I don't know.
That what can we do in this community? No? Good. When you don't agree with me, I want to hear why.
Here's my deal with it. I think that the community that we're, the sub-community of WordPress that we're involved with really cares a lot about that open source, right? So the problem lies with us. We and the purists are the ones that have an issue with that. I think that Joe Schmo down the road is willing to pay, willing to pay what they're willing to pay. It has nothing to do with open source, but it being online, being on the internet. It's not something tangible that they can touch or taste or feel. They can visually see that, but they see free alternatives out there, not necessarily open source. And that's what I was disagreeing.
You don't think it's an open source thing? It's just a general online thing.
I think what happens,
like, people want stuff for free online.
Software. Look at the issue with pirated software back in the digital.
I mean, I would agree with that to a certain extent, machine. For sure. I get it. I'd agree with that for a certain extent.
And I think the issue is that half the time you have developers fighting each other, right? So the quote goes out, and everybody's trying to underbid each other instead of saying, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to put my name and my effort on work at that price point. I'm not willing to just let them dictate things, right? So, yeah. You know, one of the email templates that I use a lot when people send in requests, I have a template that I use that instructs them on what's going on, how things work, etc. It does a lot of education, and then it asks them some key questions. And then there's a follow-up template I use, right, that goes into now their budget, their timeline, etc. And what I've discovered is there are some people who, once they're educated, turn around and change their budget twofold, fivefold, tenfold. There are other people who, even after the education, are hell-bent on not spending a penny. I send those people to Jason Tucker, right? I'm like, here you go, buddy. I'm kidding. I don't do that.
It's all here, Jason.
But you know, there's some folks who, once they get educated, they realize, well, you're right. I wouldn't set up a storefront and hope that my rent was free. I wouldn't set up a marketing plan with Yellow Pages and expect to get the ad for free. So there's a ton of business people that just need to be educated. The problem, more often than not, is that our WordPress community of developers and designers just don't have the tools, the vocabulary, or the experience to educate customers about the business side of things. So they punt immediately to the technical side of things. And frankly, I have yet to meet business people who, after a full day of dentistry or a full day of real estate or a full day of mechanics or a full day of working in a restaurant, come home and say, you know what I'd like to do for my fun night tonight? I'd like to talk to you about technology and the web and everything else below it so that I can get a website. Most of them are like, screw you. I don't need to know the printing press to get a Yellow Pages ad, and I don't need to know about open source or internet or HTTP to get a website. So if you can't speak business, don't talk to me, right? And that's the problem, right? That's the corner I spend my time in, trying to help people to say, look, you need the vocabulary, you need the tools, you need the strategies, because you'll be better if you know how to speak to people in the language of business rather than just technology.
You know, something that is funny, you mentioned it's we often, as providers, would kind of step on each other's toes. We'd bid on the same thing. What we ended up doing, and this was my Cubic 2 days before security really flourished, was I had a network of folks that and confidants that we would get a lot of the same stuff, and we would just push it to each other. And that seemed to be a way to maybe push it to the appropriate company or person who would be catering to that audience, right? So there was maybe five or six of us, and like, hey, this isn't for me. I'm not going to pick this job up. Does this make sense for you? And we were able to actually build our vocabulary, build our understanding of how that all works through each other. So through its internal kind of workings, our network within our sub portion of this community, we were able to build efficiencies in dealing with customers. So one thing I would say is, and it's just like a startup, like we created a company, you need to have partners that you trust. I think that you could do that as a provider or even as an existing company or entity doing these types of services. Build your network, build your community partners in a way that everybody benefits from.
Absolutely. And there's wonderful, I mean, like, you know, if you start learning what people specialize in, if you know what they're good at, right, then you can turn around and say to someone, say, listen, if that's what you're really trying to do, you need to go talk to Range because they've done blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
If that's what you need to do, you need to go talk to TenUp because blah, blah, blah. If that's what you need to do, you need to go talk to Norcross or you need to go talk to Dre. They're, and I can route people and never feel bad about it, right, so, because I'm connecting someone to a specialist who knows what they're doing, and that's what they do.
Let me quote this, because this is exactly it. Kareem just put this in the chat room. There's more work out there than we all could handle. Rising tides. He's hit it. He hit his own head.
It's legit. I mean, we pass on contacts all the time, and I never like to tell someone, sorry, we can't take it on. I always like to give them another avenue.
Sure.
You know, we're busy. Unfortunately, we can't start for 6 months. However, I think this, you know, like you said, Dre, like this company would probably be a good fit. Go talk to them. They're busy. They go, so we've had people tell us, yeah, you're like the sixth, you know, shop we've talked to. Everybody's book, like who is doing the work? It's like, well, that proves that what we're doing is legit, right? Like WordPress is here, and it's interesting that's a great quote because it's absolutely true. Every freelancer all the way up to shop and agency is understanding that it's, I mean, there's enough pie for everybody, and there's so much awesome WordPress work out there.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to hear your thoughts on products, Chris, because I know you're very passionate about products. So we talked a little bit about it here at the beginning around Grinding Forms and some other things, but you're very passionate in saying that WordPress premium products are sold way too low. The price is way too low. And when we launched AppPressor, we have a much higher price point than most kind of premium products out there on the WordPress. There might be some higher, but if there are, there aren't many. I think our highest package is $500. So it's a more of a higher tier, and that's an annual cost. So it's a little bit higher tier. Even when we launched, you said that's too low. You're not selling it high enough. It's way too low. Buy it now. And you tweeted, buy it now because this is way too low and they're going to figure it out. So I want to hear from you. Like, I mean, What do you think price point should be? Like, how can people figure out where that tipping point is of charging too much but justifying what you're selling?
But think about AppPressor for just a second, right? If we took a small case study and I provided you this consulting for totally free, which I knew was your whole plan of inviting me in the show anyway.
I value your time and what you could do for me. I would pay you double what you would ask.
But let's talk about AppPress for just a second. It is a product that allows WordPress people who know that infrastructure well, right? Which, by the way, that was going to be my bar trick, so now I'm wasting all my words. But
plug it in. We got all night.
But it allows people who have an understanding of WordPress to leverage that infrastructure with a little bit of phone gap work and to produce products. Now, walk away from that. Walk away from WordPress. Walk away from our little community in our corner of the planet and walk into the vast open fields where people are asking for phone apps to get built. Head over to Odesk. Head over to Elance. Head over to online. Search anywhere you like. And I will tell you that most simple products on a phone are costing $10,000. The more serious ones, $25,000. The real serious applications with specific features, the corporate ones, the enterprise ones, etc., $80, $100, $1,000. And these aren't even games. These are still basically data in, data out, look nice, interactive phone apps. And you turn around and say, I'm going to let developers do it for $500, right? I mean, seriously, what my message to the community, if you were a WordPress developer, was go spend the $500, turn around, build your first app, get crazy, right? Get crazy and charge $2,500 instead of $10,000, and you will have paid and made your money fivefold over from the cost that you started with, right? And yet you hear people saying $500, oh my God, I'm never going to spend $500. You're like, then you seriously misunderstand the market opportunities, you seriously misunderstand the market and the revenue potential, and because of that, you've misunderstood how you should invest. And that's the language we're talking about, right? It's what you invest in. If you were going to step into dentistry today, there is an x-ray machine that allows you to stand in one place, put the plate into your mouth once, and the machine rotates around you, giving you a 365-degree x-ray, and you don't have all that work of jamming stuff into people's mouths and doing it 45 times to get the whole array of imagery. That machine costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if you're a dentist and you're serious about that market, you spend it. Right? You buy, you invest, you put that capital into your equipment because you know that it will allow you to step into that market and bring that market to you in a better way than the guys down the road who keep jamming stuff in your mouth and make everything miserable. Yet we turn around and we say, I'm not willing to invest $100. I'm not willing to invest $500. That's, again, it's a lack of an understanding of markets and revenue potential. And when you have that...
So is it...
Listen, simple A/B test.
Is it a marketing issue on the side of the product side, or is it more of a market issue on the community side of them not understanding? Like, what's the solution to this issue?
I would like to tell you that, but we'll need to schedule another call for that.
Ayo. Well,
not specifically to person. I'm just saying in general. Like, what, you know? What,
I'm kidding.
What can premium product owners and things do to change that perception of my product is only worth $50 or $20, and people are like, I'm not paying more than $50
for it. Oftentimes, that is an internal self kind of reflection thing. It isn't an external thing. Where we're going to get two people, three people complain about a price change because they're going to complain inherently, right? You're getting 10, 20 people telling you to increase the pricing. You're missing opportunities for people to join your service because it is underpriced. They go, there's no way I'm putting that shit on my servers. There's no way I'm running that software because it does not meet the level of pricing that I understand or that I'm used to. Simple testing. If you can come in and double your pricing and still convert at 50% rate, you're at the same place you started with double the pricing, man. So
you're at a better place, right? Because we forget that in that math, our supply cost dropped because we have less customers.
You're absolutely right. So you're already profiting higher than you were before.
Exactly right, right? So definitely A/B testing your pricing is definitely part of it. But here's the other thing, right? If you look at a company like StudioPress, right? And you go back, if you go back in time and you look at the time when Woo Themes and iThemes and Revolution all came out, the difference between those, and I've had these conversations, I've had conversations with the guys at Woo Themes, I've had conversations with Corey. The difference was that when Genesis came out, one of the things Genesis focused on, partly because of its nature of the framework, Genesis focused on developers, right? Whereas iThemes and Woo Themes focused on end users. Now, here's why that's important. Because what Genesis did, whether it was strategic or whether it was by chance, it equipped an entire group of non-paid channel partners to advocate that product to its customer base. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, end users were buying the product because their developers told them to, right? That is why in pharmaceuticals, you see reps go out to talk to doctors because they know that customers will buy drugs when their doctors tell them to, right? So when you're talking about this particular sample like AppPressor, the real trick is how do you get developers in your community mobilized to tell the rest of that community that this is an incredible tool that allows them to generate tons of revenue?
Look, I know another company that did that. I mean, I'm just throwing this out. They're a little security firm that does some website cleanup and stuff. That it's a double whammy piece, right? You're serving the end user, but you're also serving that kind of sub-audience of developers and designers that have a large audience, that have a large core base of people that they're going to be servicing. If you can hit them, they become your evangelists. If you put out a kick-ass product, you can upsell that. They're going to make money.
If we're going to talk about Sucuri, then we should at least highlight the nasty little trick that you've done. So that everyone else knows this.
I want to hear this nasty little trick. Because is this a part? This sounds meaty. I'm excited.
Here's the thing about what Dre has done over Sucuri. I'm a customer of Sucuri, right? And my company's a customer and all this stuff. But here's the thing. I'm embarrassed when we get infiltrated. Because I know that the moment those scans take a look at our servers, there's going to be 45 things that I should know better. In fact, I do know better. But you know, things happen, life happens, and they don't all get attacked. Now, in a company that's growing at the rate that Sucuri is growing, and they don't talk about that a lot, but let's be honest, they're adding staff all the time. At a company that's growing at that pace, statistically speaking, my tickets should be looked at by several different people, right? Over the course of the lifespan of my relationship with Sucuri, my tickets should get routed to many different people. But Dre has set it up so that all of us that know him, all of our tickets get routed to him. And so the embarrassing email comes directly from Dre, like, hey, buddy, just wanted to let you know, these are all the outdated things you should, I mean, I know you know better, but just wanted to highlight some of the things. we're on top of it, right? So you get the whole they're on top of it, which I love. But I get shamed every time, and I keep thinking at some point we get an anonymous caseworker who's just going to be like, I'm on this, Mr. Lemma, thank you. But no, they get routed to Dre every time. If we're going to talk about security,
we need to make sure that our staff understands that we do the same things in the trenches they do. It's top-down management. We want to make sure that we're helping folks out just like they are. With that, gentlemen, this is a lively discussion. We can go on for 2 hours, but we need to quickly move on to this week's pressing topics.
Wow, we haven't done that yet?
No.
Oh, man. That was the fastest show I've ever been
ever,
on.
Ever.
It just went by like, boom, time to wrap it up.
We knew that this was going to happen, and exciting enough, there's not too much on pressing topics, but we certainly wanted to put out that WordPress 3.9 has officially put out a release date. They're looking to release this as of April 16th, which is really cool. If you're not testing now, you should be. You should be checking out the current build so that we can push this thing through. Make sure that if there's any bugs in there, get it on track and see if you can help out. Get this thing licked so we can get it launched. I want that update message in my dashboard. So let's get this on. April 16th, we're looking at that. And one of the cool things that came out last week with the discussion with Boone was a BuddyPress and an upcoming beta release, which has dropped. So 2.0 beta 1 is ready for testing. Head over to buddypress.org and hook a brother up. We need to get this thing rocking and rolling. Because we're short of time, I know we wanted to talk about this core track ticket. We could drop the link in the show notes about some knucklehead wanting to work through the WP login screen and rename that. So publicly stating that he's
tell us how you feel, Dre.
Yeah, publicly stating that he's a follower and excited about security through obscurity. You just need to go check out the ticket. I'm not going to talk too much about it. The name of it is Provide Mainline Support for the Renaming of WP Login. The guy's just out of his mind, and fortunately the core team put him in his place, and on we go. With that said, guys, I think we need to move on to this week's Bar Tricks.
Fastest pressing topics ever.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Wow.
Ooh,
wow.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That was crazy. Oh, man. Well, we are running quick for time here. One thing I'll put out real quickly is we put out a widget. I'm really excited about this. We're adding it to our free plugin that's in the repository. You can also head over to kb.security.net. This is my shameless plug of the week. Site check widget. Now you can put it in your sidebar, and you can scan any website right from your sidebar to see what's going on. So make sure to go check this out, customize it, put it on your blog, tell your mom about it, good time, scan a website, do something for the security of the world. Awesome.
Wow. All right. Well, shameless plug of the week. We need a bumper for that. Chris, what do you got over there, buddy?
Well, my plugin or my bar trick this week is AppPressor. We've talked about it already. It is ridiculously underpriced. there is a tremendous market for it, and if you haven't seen what it can do and you haven't checked it out, or if you just need tons of ideas of how to apply it, feel free to ring me up. We were just looking at a very large proposal where a very major car manufacturer is doing some race events, and all of a sudden you're asking yourself, oh, is this a good place to do kind of an event-based ticketing solution using AppPressor? It's very interesting. You ought to go check it out and see what it can do, and then you ought to buy it, and then you ought to go make a lot of money and come back and tell us how well you did.
Say what? You know what's funny? If you haven't checked it out, folks, you can get a good example of what it can do for you and how powerful it is just on the actual iTunes side of the house. But Dragcast has its own app, and it's all built on AppPressor because it's sick. You need to go check it out. Download it at iTunes.apple.com. Thank you, Chris, for that. What do you got going on there? What's your bar trick there, Big Brad?
I got a good one. So I have some code that was released by, and I just realized I've never really pronounced his name out loud, so I'm going to totally butcher this, but Daniel Botschermer. Sorry, Daniel. I feel like I've talked to this guy for years. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But anyways, this is called Dictator. So when I first heard of it, someone said, hey, have you heard of WordPress Dictator? I'm like, oh, man. And I heard about this yesterday on April Fool's. I'm like, this can't be good. but actually, it's really cool. So what it is, basically controls the state of WordPress. So you can actually set up your WordPress site. Imagine you're setting up a site locally, right? And you can kind of export a configuration file of the WordPress and the state that it's at. So it'll control things like users and settings and plugin settings and all sorts of stuff. And then you can actually commit that up to wherever your different environments are at, your different staging environments, and your WordPress setups can pull in those configurations and automatically adhere to whatever that state is. So it makes it great. Like, imagine, and I'm sure we've all done this, we have to configure it a certain way. We get approval by the client, and then we have to push it over to production and go through all the same settings. You know, in real time, we're trying to configure widgets really quickly and change stuff or, you know, change settings. Well, this actually will automate that process for you. And keep the state of WordPress consistent across all of your different platforms. So I haven't actually used this yet because it just came out, but the idea behind it is amazing, and it's sounds like it's going to be very, very powerful. It hooks right into WP CLI.
Awesome.
So it's really, really cool. It's called Dictator. We'll have a link to that in our show notes.
Man, boom shakalaka. Chris, I'll tell you what, really appreciative of you coming on so short notice. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, man, we could have waited 2 hours.
Well, we're going to have to do that. I think that's exactly what we need to set out to do there, Brad, is a two-hour special with Chris Lema. We can really hit some of these points hard. I think folks get a lot of value out of it. I know that I do. Every time we talk, I learn something, and that's exciting. And I will tell you, there will be a day, there will be a very special day that I pick up the bill. Where can people find you, my friend?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. You will pick up the bill the day I decide to let you pick up the bill. And
that's a challenge in itself.
And I can be found over at chrislema.com, where I blog far too often for Brad. And then on Twitter, I can be found at chrislema.
Beautiful thing. Thanks again for hosting episode 039. Bradford, where can we find you, brother?
You can stalk me on Twitter at WilliamsBA.
Before I close that out, I wanted to, I skipped over this really quickly. Exciting that we're all three going to be at WordCamp Miami, May 9th through the 11th.
Yes.
So I'm sure you're speaking.
I am. Right?
Okay, so I'll be speaking. We have a podcast panel going on. You're actually moderating the biz panel, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm moderating the biz panel on Sunday. I'm also speaking on pricing on Sunday.
for the win, folks. So if you haven't seen some of the business panels that Chris has moderated or been a part of in the past, you're missing out. You need to do it. And the pricing discussion, we hit it really lightly here, folks. You if you're starting a business or running one and want to improve kind of where you're at along the lines of some of the pricing discussions that you heard here today, you need to go check this out. This is WordCamp Miami, May 9th through the 11th. He's also going to be at WordCamp Austin, April 26th and the 27th. Not sure if he's attending Philly or if he's probably sticking back to Orange County. It's the same weekend.
I'm sticking back to Orange County this time.
And that'll
gotta
be
represent, June 7th. I don't blame you.
The 8th. It's been an exciting episode. I'll tell you, for the Rad and Drad, I'm the doctor. Thanks for joining us, and Chris Lima for episode 039 of DragCast. Booyah! We're out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the DragCast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the DragCast website at dragcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at DragCast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the DragCast. Drag.